it broke down the law. So it's because now the law was made a curse. Because it cursed the Son of God. So, but the law is good and holy and just. But you know what I'm saying is like... It's like now it lost its preeminence. And he became preeminent because he was shown to be greater than the law. So he abolished in his flesh the enmity and its hostility, reason for opposition, the law of commandment, because of it's his broken body, the law was abolished. And so it ended this separation between the Jews and the Gentiles in God's sight, meaning a Gentile could be as much, you know, there won't be Gentile sons of God and Jewish sons of God. They're all in Christ made one. He could reconcile both things into one new man, making peace. He is our peace. And he could reconcile both into God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. By the cross, or thereby is in it. In his cross, he has slain this hostility between Jew and Gentile by the abolishment of the law, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. I mean, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, both had the peace of Christ preached to them. And through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, because the same Holy Spirit that inhabited the Jews. The first time it was in the house of Cornelius when Peter went there, and then, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and that's when he realized, hey, God, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, for in every nation, those that fear him find favor with him. Verse 19, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So now we have, you aren't strangers and foreigners, but you are made citizens. It was a very significant change. This is something I talk about a lot, is that Paul all the time says, salvation has appeared to all and to all men. And it's usually, it's in regard to, the Jews and the Gentiles, not just the Jews anymore. This is a big deal, that the gospel could be preached to everybody. But it doesn't mean that the grace of God is universally poured out on every individual. On every nation, yes. On every individual, no. Not all men have faith. Not all men can have faith. God is not out, he didn't, His grace didn't just, if his God's grace is going to everybody, and then they just have to do a work to receive it, then grace is no more grace. Because now it's based on what you do, which is a works system. But look, see, here I am, a Gentile, and I'm part of this house, and I'm built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself. Because all the building looks back to those original founding building blocks. Jesus, his apostles, and the prophets that came before them. And that's what I want to teach you in these studies, is about those apostles and prophets. What was their doctrine? As much as possible, emphasizing the things that are, in my mind, very lost today, and are not being taught. So in whom all the building fitly framed. Render close jointed together. That's fitly framed. Makes me think of a house, you know. When you frame a house, you know, you put out the framing portions, you know, the inner guts, so to speak. And this building of God is framed and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You know, who this is? We are the temple of God. That always makes an interesting question in prophecy, because it talks about the false Christ standing in the temple of God, making a show that he is God. And people look for a literal temple in Jerusalem, you know, like, you know, is it the temple of the true God? Because if it's the temple of the true God, it has to be the church. And the true church. And that's kind of, I almost can't accept that, you know. Because it just seems so unlikely. And then there's the other idea that, you know, some people say they got to tear down the Dome of the Rock to build a Jewish temple there. Honestly, if there's a Jewish temple there, it wouldn't be the temple of God. I mean, not the true temple, you see. But it would be, but in that case, really, the temple, the building that is there could be called a temple of God already. It is a temple to God, to the one God, but not to the true God. But it is in the place where the old temple stood. I don't know. But the interesting questions are brought up when you consider all the ideas of which in the New Testament, the temple of God. And what is it? You know, it's the body of Christ. Well, and then there's also the idea that there was once a real temple there that was the temple of God. If the Jews built another temple, it wouldn't be, and started offering sacrifices. There's some people who think that's a wonderful thing, and I think it's just, it would be an affront to the blood of Christ. Not to say that it couldn't happen, but just, but I wouldn't look at it as a good thing, or as a good temple. If they did build a temple there, well then I would be pretty sure that would be where Antichrist would enthrone himself. But if they don't, it's going to have to be something else. And maybe they'll go down to some big church somewhere and, you know, it's all, you know, it says, seal up the book, Daniel. You know, it says, in the end,